Okay, next point is a satirical panel. I have a starting presentation as the last time where I try to resume a bit what happened the last year in Tickle. So that's a state of Tickle presentation. Before, when I had my first Tickle conference in 2000 in Hamburg, it was, what was his name? Yeah, Willkommen, who has made that presentation. And yeah, so that's where the name is coming from. Yeah.
Most likely Jeff Hobbs.
Yeah, Jeff Hobbs, I'm sorry, yeah. Jeff Hobbs wasn't, yeah. Okay.
Good.
Tickle 9 is released. We made it. Yeah.
Oh, thanks to Harald and his continuous hammering.
Yeah. It was a wild story. Why do you want Tickle 9? Full Unicode support, no more surrogate stuff, string length of items is one, so really great. We have large strings, way long. We have the great StarKit functionality included, so we have a one file executable all in, and you just start it and it runs. That's also great. We have cleared off a lot of annoying pitfalls. For example, the octal stuff, the EOF default, the regsub command, which was in since 8-9 years we had it, and it was sleeping, and it is so important function. We have the LSEC and the abstract list. We have a lot of OO stuff. We have the encoding stuff, which now, before they, if there was problems, they put question marks, they put raw stuff. For many things you couldn't use them, and so that was as now as profiles, you can break on errors, you find the errors, and so on. You have a lot of performance, we have just seen that. And
so this I want to point out, this performance is different than the abstract list.
Yeah.
So Ishak did stuff to manipulate lists. The list internals to reuse pieces into chunks and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's an additional performance improvement separate from abstract list.
Yeah, that's true, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the clock command was implemented in C, so high performance when.
Clock validate.
Sorry?
Clock validate.
Oh, yes.
Really, really important.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Validation of clock.
New command.
Values.
Yeah. We have many packages adopted, so we were really surprised at it. And the last reason why you want this is because Tickle 8.6 support will end next year. Okay, great. So let's look what's happening currently. We have now a tip and a release calendar, which is also a big achievement. So you have a thought, if you do something, when will happen what? So tip 7.13 is the release calendar. And here for 8.6, we had two 8.6 releases. Well, there was a SEC fault. This will happen next month. There's, for instance, only one important thing I link. And next year, at this range, there will be the last release of 8.6. So that is an end of life. Okay, release calendar for 9.0. So 9.0 got released here. What happened since the last conference was that the ZipFS syntax was again modified. So that's something, yeah, was the parameters were not great. Not a big deal, but yeah, it had to be changed. 9.01 was closely directly presented with some issues we have. 9.02 was released last week. Yeah.
Yes.
What was included? Tip 7.16, encoding user access minus encoding mainly for the Windows platform. And there's a planning for new releases and already a date for end of life. Yeah. Okay. So what happens with bundled packages? They are still released with Tickle TK releases. Yeah. Well, which packages are in 902? Those packages are in 902. And SQLite was released yesterday, it's a new version, so there's an older one in the release, even if, yeah, just didn't happen. Yeah, bundled packages are on one side a problem and then one side a good thing, because, yeah, some of them, for example, Thread, should be in parts better be in the core to be tested with and so on, because often it happens that we test, but we don't test with the bundled packages and not with the current one, and then we find problems ways late. We have got really good in core testing, so continuous integration and testing is really powerful. We find things we before we never found. So that got really better, but bundled packages testing is not so good, and especially the thread package, which is way much linked to the core. Yeah, we will see what happens there. The Tingle TLS package got great improvements by Brian O'Hagan, and I have asked in February, he asked, what will we do, will we release? And we all said yes, but nothing happens, and Brian, I've asked on the list, what is the status? And he says, yes, we have some bugs and some refinement, and it will happen soon, the release of Tingle TLS package version 2. And this is also supporting HTTP 3, so the stuff, so yeah.
1.3.
No.
HTTP 1.3. No, 3.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. And what we also have is a Tingle TK 9.0 migration tool. So that's not a bundled package, but it's just a way very helpful stuff with a static and a dynamic migration helper. Okay. We have script migration to 9.0, and that really worked well. So we have a migration core wiki page, how to migrate, which are the points. We have the migration toolkit with the two steps. Yes. And what are the main problems we have in migration? Basically, is that some commands which didn't cause errors now cause errors. For example, the encoding before, the encoding command never failed, basically. It just made rubbish or something. What's new is also that the tilde substitution is not there anymore in file names. So the octal stuff, so that are deep issues, not so easy to find. Next point is that the integer is now always a big num and not word size long on 32-bit platforms. So if you rely on the wrap-on or on the checking that integer is limited, that's not the case anymore. And also that the case that namespace variables don't resolve anymore to global. That was also a design issue, that if you choose in the namespace a variable with the same name which exists in the global variable is used. So you could kill your global variable by a local one by a namespace variable, which is really a bad design. But the drawback is that, of course, if you want to use that mechanism, it's now not there anymore. Okay, good. Yeah, extension migration. So we have a migration wiki page. What are the main points? Well, first of all, the init stub command has to be changed. Before there was mostly 8 or 8.6 or so. You have to add a dash 10 or just a dash. Dash 10 means it is version 8.6 to 9 dot anything. So that's what that syntax means. 10 is exclusive. Yeah. It is 64 bits everywhere. So we have a new type, Tingle size, which is present in 8.6 and in 9. In 9, it is always 64-bit. In 8.6, it may be 32-bit for places where before an int was used. So to get that run. The size of Unicode code point change from 16-bit to 32-bits. So often if you ask for a Unicode or for character value, now you get bigger thing back. And the last point, it is very hard to test big strings, big lists, and so on. So we of course want to test the over the int limit, and that is really hard to test so big ones. So University of Vienna has provided some machines with so much memory to run tests, but yeah, also Rolf has reported how many minutes it takes or how many hours to just to set up a string of this size on certain machines. So that's on the practical side difficult, but yeah, future will show when machines are getting bigger and faster where are the problems there. Okay, the migration of extension. So which extensions are migrated? So we have a wiki page with a list of some, so chaos as usual, I would say. All major packages are ported, and if you want to ask some people here in the conference who has made migration, Andreas Skizalip, probably also other packages, huge one, Rolf has helped a lot. Rolf has made TDOM migration, also big story, binary package. Ryan is currently a lot in migration work on TickleX and Tickle Virtual File System. So that's interesting. Gustav is Navi Server. And myself, TickleWS and TKSVG. That's more with a smile. Because we don't need it anymore, so the package require script just does nothing anymore. The community was really surprised that the migration got so quick. There was high interest, there was high and quick migration, so that was really great. So we never would have expected that. And so the compatibility project, which was first started, the Tickle 8.7, was stopped. So we also learned in the community that we have to focus on small things, on one goal, and not to do everything. So stop doing everything. We have to try to focus, and that worked out. Well, that's a great lesson learned, I would say. Okay, so next step. So Tickle 9.1 will come up. So we decided not with like 8.6 to run one a long time. Now we have all 2 years, a minor release, I would say, but or 3 years, something like that. So 9.1 will be the next one, which will have new features. So new features go in 9.1, so not in 9.0. So that is also a strategic change. And I think that's a good change. So the first alpha, A0, is planned this month. We will see if this will work out. Then we have two additional alphas, and here is a feature freeze. So basically in 1 year. And this means stop working, testing. So after 3 months of testing, we want to be productive. So perhaps you have beta 1, beta 2, beta 3. We'll see how many betas we will need to get it fine. Okay, so that's strategy. What is can already be seen, what will be in 9.1? I have to say, in general, 9.0 was a big effort. So we could also all take a bit of rest, and that's okay. So we must not all work always at speed of 200. Yeah. That's also in this conference. Last time, power, 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 and okay, now we are in Italy, we are more relaxed. Yeah. Okay, but what's in? Tip 7.15. So we require relatively recent development environment and platforms. So C11. Windows 10, macOS 10.13. What's that license? Yeah, and we have a license tip. We had license discussion, so it is clear that we have a free license where you can use it for anything.
Okay.
Tip 7.12, subs with positive options will be in.
Yeah.
Yeah. internal stuff. We try to reform. Currently, if we run out of memory, Tickle panics. And especially if you are a Navi server or something like that and your stuff panics, that's no fun. And so this is now started to be changed. So instead of panic, we throw a memory error. And of course, that sounds easy, but you have now many error points in the code where you have to get out. And you have to test it, and you need the memory shortage situation, so that's, yeah, not an easy work. So that starts to go, and tip 7.17 is one part of that, so to all the commands which start with attempt may now are the same as without attempt, but may fail on memory error. Is that right? I don't know, but yeah, so that's what this does done, it creates a hash table, but if we don't have enough memory for that hash table, it fails with memory error. Okay, so, and then bytecode compiler. So Donald Fellows is doing huge work on that. Much code is moved to what we have in 9.0 is mostly not byte compiled. And he starts to byte compile a lot of stuff, so try is very complicated one, has many exit points. This is what's happened now, and also Brian just reported about the abstract list. If those new types are byte compiled, they will be processed faster. Yeah, so that would happen. Anyway, with abstract list, you have seen the creation of the new list is very fast. So if you lose later on more time, that's logical, because also operations are moved to a later moment. Yeah, so, yeah. Okay, so that's in the pipeline, for instance. And yeah, here's the second page. Use more abstract list for interface, L-reverse, ROP, L-range. We have just seen that. The 6.49 was just presented, and 7.11 is also something in that paper. You can check for empty without shimmering side effect. So at the moment, if you check for an empty string of a huge thing, what is currently not a string, for example a list, then the whole list, the huge string representation is generated, and then it's compared to nothing, to zero. Okay, it's zero, and we can have that shorter. So we have an internal function which always tries to find out, is it an empty string or not? And for example, a number is never an empty string. You don't have to calculate the string representation to know that.
Is there also a ticker command to access this functionality?
It is internally always used.
In what case?
At script level.
At script level.
At script level.
These are just equal things that will be optimized to this.
It is $A, E, Q.
Okay, if this works, then it's wonderful.
It is that one, that this one doesn't shimmer anymore.
Very good.
If that is, for example, this.
Very good, very good.
It is not your business to check whether it works
Okay, so what is currently on the pipeline? Well, it's your creation, I would say. What will still happen? Christian Werner has proposed a package present. Implementation is there. Unicode normalization, tip 7.6. Perhaps we will, in the panel, discuss about that. Very important feature. I've just made an example, so you have two Unicode points, and after normalization, they are normalized to this one. So for example, this one you can represent by two different ones, so an hat composed by an A, or you have one Unicode point for both. And of course, if you want to present something, if you want to compare them and so on, you need normalized strings. So that you need that at many places, and yeah. So that's also a big task, and Ashok is starting with that work at the moment. Okay. Time ensemble for monotonic time. That's my special one. I missed the monotonic time. I'm sorry for that. So that's on my desk. To have the after with monotonic time. So at the moment, if you say after 1,000 in a second and the clock changes back, then it will, by 1 hour, then it will be in 1 hour and a second. So that's what's currently happening, and I have that use case, unfortunately, quite a lot in pharmaceutical systems, which are totally unconnected, and I always have a function set clock, set time manually. And then I set the clock and bam, my afters never fire, or they all fire together, or whatever happens. Yeah. So, and the last one is execute a DLL from memory module. So the memory module stuff was a big discussion, but as we will see if that flies or not. Okay. Anything else? Perhaps in the discussion what may happen. Okay. Tip 700, markdown documentation. So we have the documentation project, the current documentation is unmaintainable. You cannot maintain this stuff, this NROF stuff. Yeah. Well, it is unmaintainable, and that's also a reason why documentation is not in a good state, and we want to get to markdown. So Thorsten is doing that project together with Steve Landers, and so we will have markdown documentation and automatically generate NROF and automatically generate HTML or whatever. So that's the idea. We do that in parallel with the TickleTK development. And currently, we have from Tickle the category 3, which are all the commands, and now the category, no, N are the commands, and now category 3 for the API is just starting. Yeah. So, yeah, that is running, it's a lot of work. Yeah, so that's the project, and I also try to do that in packages. So the latest packages I've done, I tried to use that NROF documentation. Rolf also, yes, I think, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One file executable. So I think that's a great feature. I tried it just works. So you have a Tickle library or a DLL, you have the Tickle files and DLLs in a zip file. So you can have them in a zip file, you can mount that, and then you can execute it. And the zip file can be attached to a library, to a DLL, or to executable. Yeah, so you can attach it to the TCL library or the TK library, or you can attach it to the executable. Now, by default, the distribution of Tickle files are attached to the Tickle library. So if you install it, you don't find any TCL files anymore. They are all at the end of the TLL. There's a zip at the end, and it is included. So. And if you want to have a one file executable, You build a static Tickle, and then you do this command. So within Tickle, zipfs make image into that one. That is my folder where are my programs. And here you have your static wish, and this will put anything which is in this folder behind that, write it out there. So if you execute that, you need nothing else, just executable, and it runs. That's all what your application needs. And it is fast. It is. Yeah, I'm really amazed. And we have issues that there may be DLLs in the temp folder which are left out. We already had that with a former solution, so that's the memory module stuff. But I, in my applications, with the next run, I delete some stuff. So that's, there are solutions for that. And it supports code signing. So Windows executable must be code, must be signed, so you can sign it. Still works, SIP is still fun. And as far as I know it, code signing is also supported on the Mac OS. Yeah, don't know the details. Okay, what's also new? So Max, for you and others, Orphan Packages GitHub. So the discussion what to do with Orphan Packages, who will do anything. What we need is a central point to collect all the contributions, so not everybody does his stuff in the corner. So we have started Orphan Packages GitHub, and don't ask me why it's GitHub, don't ask any question. We just have to do something. It's a problem and we have to solve it. And if there's someone doing something, then we do it. Same what Max has shown today. We will just do that, point. So projects in tkpass, tktreecontrol, and those, so what Brian is working on. So those are the people which are organizing at the moment. And it will only work if people contribute. So please, if you have something, if you have candidates, if you want, we will add you as a maintainer and get it active. And tkpath was a big orphaned application. It's a great one. We will see that tomorrow. And Ashok, as usual, he does everything. He's normally not interested in TK and not in tkpath, but yes, we had four TK passes and he has looked what is a good one. And then Mark provided the essential stuff for macOS. So we also, it's always a problem also of motivation, how to get the wizards to work. And that was a positive example that Ashok has made something, has sent the right polite messages, and Mark's the only Mac guy who really has action and power and understand what's happening. He has adapted it and now it's available for all platforms. So that's great. Okay. And Brian is here active. Okay. So is it an answer for everything? Is it an answer for nothing? No, it is just an action. And as we have to join resources and don't do many things at many places, so that's a place where we can help each other. So TCT is a group of nerds. Yeah. And often it is a group which the TCT have to do that, the TCT has to do that, and so on. So that's often something you have to support as TCT member. So basically, the TCT is only responsible for the core and only for the core development, nothing else. And those guys can only vote. That's all what they can do. So we have a vote. If a tip goes in, anybody can author a tip, anybody can do something, start a discussion, and so on. And those guys are voting on it. So that's what's happening. So they don't have more power than you if you're not TCT, and if you're TCT, you don't feel like Superman. I can tell you, we have four people here, and you mostly feel like that. But anyway, and if there's, we have a new member, Reinhard Max, and Reinhard Max really thanked also that he got that position because it also supports him in his company. So he's at SUSE Linux distribution, he's the manager for all ticket packages, and he has a lot of ticket packages in there. And he says, in my company, of course, that helps, that I'm a TCT member, so I can do that. Okay, so I want to thank the TCT to bring anything forward, but at the end, it is your contribution, it is a code which goes in, which is good, and what we need. That's all. Thank you.
I have a few remarks from Donald Fellows.
Yeah.
So first of all, it says the integer as a big int was in fact already in TKL 8.6.
Yeah.
It points out.
Then it says the moving from C89 plus to C11 enables a lot more source code tricks. Then concerning the byte compile try, it says the try was compiled in 86, but the code to do it was horrible. An issue not because he wrote that code. And yeah, then he explains, as we said, that the equals with an empty string is optimized now to use this is empty. He's hoping to get around to switch minus integer, so an optimization for the switch item. He says that the one file DLL version of Tkl and Tk would be very useful for people having to work with Tkinter in Python.
Yeah.
And then concerning the TCT, it says we are the electors of Tkl, so like the elector princes, as in the Holy Roman Empire, basically.
Yes, I think we have two tasks. So we are at the end of the day today, so we will still do a small panel, just two questions. So I want to invite all TCT members present to get in place. I will stay as usual, I'm also a TCT member. And we have a fourth place, so who wants to be the fourth Tkl supporter? Max?
Come.
New people, new fun.
Coming outside. What I did to you guys.
Yeah. So now we have some.
Turn this one.
Yeah. Please turn it off. Thank you.
Yes. We'll also stop sharing here. So.
Yeah. Yeah, as usual, it's of course to you to ask questions, but we did it the last time that I formulated a question, and each one gives a short statement. So, first question. What do you think should be in 9.1? So, from left to right. If you don't want to answer now, you say pass at the next.
What should be in...
or what do you wish to be in? Yeah.
It must be done before, and it should be done in a good and reasonable way. Those are the criteria. I personally would love that we continue the road to support better Unicode. But this needs some thinking about. Well chosen library leverage. So I think it's important to get this right. So we should give us a bit of time and some discussion to make a good decision. It's a complicated and large topic, so it's not easy to make a good decision.
It's a massive target.
It's a massive target, yes.
So, background of what Rolf is saying, we have the new tip about the Unicode, and there's a discussion on which library should be used.
Part of this topic, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have many more Unicode issues than in this tip. We already have in TK, what is the next character, what is one glyph, all this stuff is...
Coffins.
What are character classes, what is a space? All those questions are answered by Unicode libraries. Mine?
I think mine is pretty simple. Working on TkLX, one of the features it has is support for complex values. And I've also worked on some vector package, look at vector packages that deal with complex numbers. C compilers today, complex numbers are just the main native value. I think Tkl should support the complex numbers
atomic negative value.
Okay, so
that would
so 10
take it out of the packages and put it right into the
E5. So
take it out of tickle X and put it into tickle 9.1.
What in today's environment? The complex values is it's standard in C. Right?
For sure. But tickle X is a large thing. There are many things included.
Oh,
it's a question to keep the whole range of
the commands. I've already carved out a lot of stuff that's already in the core. Yeah. That was in tickle X. So I dropped all those because it's already in the core. But yeah, this would be another one that you just drop.
I mean, also, fork is a problem if it comes to threads and fork. I mean, it doesn't work. But this TKX has some support for fork, therefore it's a problem for supporting all of the system level features of TKX.
Yeah, that's one of the aspects. But the complex one is there's all these different vector packages that use complex values.
And it's a thing very thing.
It should be a no brainer. Just put it in there.
Max.
What do you think about 9?
What is your opinion for Tickle 9.1? Which feature would you love to have?
Okay, first time I tried to compile it on the small Linux, I couldn't compile it because it's for this Docker container.
Compile for Docker container.
Yeah, but it works. I mean, my container does it permanently. I'm just producing the binaries. It is called Bookworm Swim. I mean, it's just starting with the mini version and also Alpine. I'm making from the Docker container Alpine family. It works. I mean.
Okay. Yeah, we continue the panel. If that is your point, then it's on the list.
Yes.
If it works, it's good. But if it is important, it's important. Point.
Yeah,
Andreas.
First, I haven't really fully tracked much of Tickle in the last year. That is definitely on me. I have been a bit better in the last month in coming up to the conference, catching up on the mailing list, several hundred mails, and the latest tips there. So a bit more generic, I hope that the documentation project, Thorsten's one, is complete by the time we go to final 9.1. And I hope also that we resolve this UDP thing for the core and how that is. As an aside regarding complex values, in Active, my image processing, it actually has some operations for complex math. It simply treats two-band images as the two bands are the real and the imaginary components of a complex number. So it actually can do some complex ops, but I'm not sure yet at the moment if I use a native complex data type for that internally. I believe some of these complex functions like C apps and so on.
Okay, great. Any ideas from the community? From you? What should be in 9.1?
The most painful thing for me is lack of Bluetooth.
Okay.
Bluetooth.
That's the most painful thing for me.
Uh-huh.
So Python has good drivers for Bluetooth Windows and Mac, and it's GPL code on Steel. I talked to Christian Werner about it. He's thought about putting it into his Underwitch builds.
I have to admit, I see that more as an extension package, which could then be packaged with
the core. I'm fine with it as a library, obviously.
Yeah. That said, that would be an interesting thing for me, sort of, as well. There are things like, for example, there are some glasses for motorbike helmets or so to basically overlay speed and stuff like that. And at least one of them I looked at, it has a
it has an SDK and you talk to it via Bluetooth, and that would be then interesting to actually drive from Tickle instead of from closed applications on the smartphone or something.
It seems like something that should slowly migrate to Tickle Lid once it's stable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, John.
In the same way, Jason.
Jason?
What do you mean?
JSON.
That's the standard part. JSON serialization and reading as a standard.
Yeah, we have JSON, JSON drive for Tickle, which are pure Tickle, whereas RL JSON, RL underscore JSON from Cyan Ogilvy. There would be more than just saying JSON package with a core. It would also be selecting exactly what we
but you
want.
You've forgotten TDOM.
Yeah, TDOM writes it. I don't
remember. Reads it.
In that case, I would actually say instead of the Tickle-lib stuff or the RL, TDOM, because then we have not just JSON but also XML and all the other stuff.
I don't think this belongs into the core.
Yeah, package.
Package. Maybe. Okay, package. Okay.
Under package. Under
the package. But I don't think this is part of the core.
Yeah, yeah. Don't integrate it.
No.
So what's missing? So we're using Dix and JSON and it works really well. So what do you want?
Package together.
Okay, but right now I kind of like the fact that there's competition in a bunch of different implementations. And I was using TDOM for a long time and recent, and we still use it for some, where it makes more sense, and Dix than others.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's not one canonical best.
Yeah. There's a page which compared lots of JSON parsing things, and everybody was wrong in at least some aspect. I will sort this.
TDOM makes all correct.
Do you know the page?
I know the page, yes.
Yeah, okay. Then I don't have to figure it out again and send it to you. We might have actually talked about it last year or the year before that when you presented your JSON stuff for TDOM.
I presented much longer ago, but we talked, we both, and together with Mayor Falken, Neil Fitton talked last year in Vienna about this. Neil Fitton has his own JSON package, TJSON, I think. His name,
Something like this.
Something like this.
Yeah.
And,
okay,
great. One problem with JSON, well, in TDOM it is certainly solved some way, but the Tigger does not really preserve the types. So if you have a string of 4-2, it might be a number, or it might be the literal string of 4.
But this is the problem of Tickle, not JSON.
TDOM supports this. Yes, of course. The data types are preserved. You get the full turnaround. You pass the JSON, you serialize it, and number will stay a number, and
internally it's a tree, and the tree nodes are typed, therefore you know it.
That's a problem for the script implementation. Yes. They have to carry the type information in some way with it.
Actually, the Tickle JSON thing doesn't carry anything.
Okay.
It becomes a nested list of. And you have to know basically is this now a list because it was an array, is it a dictionary, and then what was in there, is that a string or a number, and so on.
Yes.
Okay, great.
So, question two, I have to think about an interesting Tickle question. I want to ask about community building. So we have seen from Max, which is for me also community building. So how do we work together? What are the tools?
I want to build the community.
Yeah.
You want to build the language. I want to build the community.
Yeah.
I'm here
so
for different
language. I want to. Ask your opinion on how could we get the most productive community.
I don't have an answer to that.
You need a community manager, something like that.
Someone who will work with community. Let the people do the coding. Somebody needs to deal with people. I think so. It works like that in all businesses.
Average or some sort.
Yeah.
Do we have a, how it's called, press?
Something kind of.
A man who stand on the front and then goes out and say, we have done this. We only supported in our own community, but we can't come out. We can not say in any newspaper, we
yes,
are not
some
on
kind of press
a,
secretary.
That page, wherever, we have new version 9. Nobody knows this.
I've tried to update this. Sorry, guys, I have a page. You have still like in decay. But I had no time enough.
Yeah,
okay.
But I will finish it one day.
Some other ideas?
For me, making the community productive feels a bit semantically wrong. And I think when something commercial or a company, they want productivity,
yeah.
But community is more collaboration, but not necessarily looking towards being productive, basically, and so this question feels wrong at some level for me.
Yes, let's
pushing
say
out from
collaboration,
community towards a company,
yeah.
And
yeah.
So beyond that, I'm not really a good person to ask about that, given that I'm more introverted and so not really that good at, let's say, standing in front for community. Talking about stuff I've done here with people I sort of know or I know have similar interests, that works, but beyond that, it's much more difficult. And with that, over to Rolf.
I started
in the middle, so I'm looking back now.
In the past few months, I've been looking through YouTube videos that try to teach Tickle.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's specific to some application or something, but I find them all pretty appalling. They're not very good.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, the education side of Tickle, there could be content produced that introduces Tickle in a better way than it's done traditionally. Might help, might spike some interest when some people come across the videos.
Right, thank you. Gustav?
I think with this, whatever community building. I mean, we have to compete with things like Python. And in Python, it's very simple to say, pip install and you get things done. I mean, Max is doing great thing on doing, going this direction. I think it's very important. And it's also, at the same time, it's very, I mean, everybody who is programming Tickle, making great applications, and if you ask them what kind of tools have you used, it was just Tickle. I mean, it's just people using like an excuse. They're not proud of using Tickle. I mean, the sex appeal of Tickle is not great, and I don't think it will change this. And also for this teaching side, I mean, we have to look on what we are competing with. Also, if this position is Jupyter notebooks, I mean, just having Python and a web page and just typing a few commands and you get things done more or less, this is productivity. And the prerequisite of going this way is to have something like a pip install for Tickle. And then you can go to these Jupyter notebooks and you can do it then and you're getting productivity. But it's just, it's multiple steps there. And there's not a single step going this way.
It's a long way because Tickle is too way behind.
In some aspects, I think we are in the lead still. I mean, it's just among the best packages.
In the code, but in the presentation, like publicity, we
horrifying.
I think the hello world approach to teaching Tickle, I think it's just is the wrong direction. I think it sets people in the wrong path in understanding Tickle. Because using something as simple as hello world makes them assume something about Tickle that is not true. And then they get stuck going down like the wrong path later on, and they don't understand why something is not working.
Yeah. And I mean, also, nobody likes Python. I mean, the people like Python's applications, but the language itself is not something that is cool. I mean, people hate this indentation stuff and so on.
Right.
And,
right.
But still, I mean, it's getting a lot of appeal because you get things done. I mean, it's, and Tickle is also good in getting things done, but we are not there just for developers getting things done, not for the end users.
You can run Tickle in Jupyter.
I have two contributions and one question to this. First contribution is I have the feeling there are several communication channels. Maybe that this has to come together a little bit more so that it's more palpable how to enter the community and to follow the community. We have the Complan, we have the NetNews, we have the Tickle chat, there are mailing lists and so on. That's one. The other is package manager. So I think that would be very important to have this fleshed out. At this time, Tickle 9 is not available, for example, on Debian. So a strong movement, maybe before Tickle 9 1, to get Tickle 9 into every possible operating system and distribution, Fedora, whatever. The question was, last year I remember that the switch to Tickle 9 was to get into big data. Because now we have a lot of much bigger address space. Do we have already somebody who is working on, let's say, big data applications, where this advantage of Tickle 9 is playing out? So,
I would say each developer who is a certain time in the business already has seen the error message size exceeded. So list size exceeded or string size exceeded.
I think it's a very modern, it's a very popular topic to have a large language model. Why not have
I think you talk about another thing, really doing KI stuff from big data or something else. The benefit of having large types is that simple things like the pattern read your data from file into memory completely in one step, process the data in memory and write it back. This failed if the data was bigger than 2 gigabytes, and this isn't much data nowadays. So this great pattern, doing stuff in Tickle, suck the file content in, process it in memory, write it back. This is fixed now. What you talk about is completely the other area. So it would be fine if someone steps forward with a great library or a great solution. The next big thing on the internet, written in Tickle, would be great if this is done, but I don't see something in this.
Antonio was first, I'm sorry.
Sure. It was just, as Gustav mentioned, it's really Python, it's nothing special except a huge library of state-of-the-art packages and software for a lot of stuff. So if you need to choose a tool for a certain task, for instance, natural language processing, there is elaborate for that. That's it's a recursive logic in the end.
Yeah.
And I think there is not an easy solution that doesn't involve putting your fingers where your mouth is, to use a metaphor. So if you love tickle and you would like to do certain task and there is not a library yet, it's probably up to you to implement one or to fix an existing one.
Good stuff.
I mean, just more thing about this big data. I mean, the question is, what is big data? I mean, for the point of a web server, it's today a shame if a user developed a package and it says, we cannot do more than whatever, 4 gigabyte, because the language doesn't support it. I mean, I don't think that sucking in 20 gigabytes into memory is a good programming style. And I will try to avoid it. But still, I do not want to have the system to crash at this point. It should put in a large warning. Guy, what you're doing probably could be done better.
Typically, if you expect data with that length, you shouldn't do this style.
Yeah.
But data happens. You expect in lower sizes, a few hundred megabytes at maximum, this is often very convenient and easy to write style, and it is nice if your solution don't crash if somebody puts 3 gigabytes on that.
Especially if you are not the creator of
actually,
you just get them.
A lot. For example, apparently right now, they have implemented this electronic invoicing. So I have a software just it's producing invoicing, but my clients, in the end of the year, publishing XMLs. 1, 2, 3 gigabytes, they need to upload them and deal with them.
Yeah.
So don't say like, okay, we are not dealing with big data. We are dealing with big data. But try not to produce big data in your software, but clients, they will always produce big data.
Yeah, but it's not big data. I mean, big data was once defined as the amount of data you can store on a machine. You need many machines for this, then it's big data. And it's an open-ended definition, because today you have machines with terabyte memory.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a terabyte is not big data. I mean, it's just it's a buzzword, and that's the bad thing about it, because people have different understanding
okay.
what you mean by this. You need distributed databases.
You don't want big data to be atomic.
Exactly, yeah.
It has to be a stream.
Yeah, it's always it's a stream. It's going constantly. People like feeling.
Yeah. But the simplistic approach is like, I want the entire file, so that's, I want the thing as an atomic piece.
Yes.
And it doesn't work that way. You have this process as a stream as you go and shift.
Or distributed or whatever I mentioned.
Yeah.
You want to say something?
A little bit other theme on this. We had in former time, talking was about regression test and TCL Pro debugger we heard about, and ActiveState has stopped maintenance, I think 19 or 2020 or so, and open source the code, but we have no new version.
We have three versions, and the best one is from Ashok, as always.
Okay, but if I look at in the repository, there is.
I mean, that's the point.
5 years.
We have many documentation about packages which is horribly outdated. And we need a central place where we find the right version which is working.
Because
people
don't want to make a trace, do not want to implement for herself introspection, yes, and so on, and is not firm in this. They get an error message, and how we heard about today, a stack trace. And then they are lost. Every other language is integrated in an IDA and got syntax highlighted and so on, like in Airpath and so on, or with Komodo IDE and so on, but it's outdated. If they have a new one, hopefully with expanding this.
Not of Komodo. That's not free, but
we need
about the
update on this.
DBC compiles, DBC run, and the TCL debug.
It was the open source version was put out of Komodo and just being a different version. Mm-hmm. And also, the reason why Ashok looked into this was putting into TK9, and it's there for TK9. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's better than nothing, but don't expect it to be perfect. But still, I think it's a good starting point for other versions.
And the last thing I would like to see. A connection or a feature to get to the parser.
To get to the?
Parser.
Parser, okay.
Yes.
Or
we have Tickle parser. Yes. Mm-hmm. We have an function. This is, I think there is a package, a binary package to get to the parser.
Go
but
to
if I have
GitHub
no
center state, Tickle. Either TDK or the teapot stuff, and you will find the Tickle parser sources in there.
No. Yeah, but I'm not in the position to compile C. I have no C.
So that's why I want. Yeah.
Why I cannot use the Tickle parser in Tickle? I have an interpreter to get out the tree. Which command with which options is when called? Why I have no call?
You don't get it either from Python. And it was not built this way. I mean, but I think it would be a great package for TDOM to have one more, not only syntax parsing, not only JSON,
but
XML, but also TTL syntax. I think it's feasible, and the rich structure you have there is not so bad for this.
But don't mess this, because
you
know,
big samples are
taller. The C team is going to hoof now,
I think we can do much things with this. Like Navelfar has already to get the regression test, so to find things not running or running wrong. We never can see without this. And we all want to have a good language.
A good time with language, we don't need to.
But this is in lifetime. Navelfar is static. It's
a static.
And what is with commands, they are online later on. Overriding a procedure or so on.
I remember writing several ticket packages that tried to pass.
I know, I have all
okay. And at least one binary package. But you have to be right. I think you're right. It arises to me already. Also, at some occasion, it would be nice to be able to parse the Tickle script, being just to have a pretty printed output of the Tickle code. So as the first application for that.
Yes.
You generate Tickle code. I have some examples of this generating Tickle code. And it would be nice if you can prevent that. So this is the first and easiest application for such a thing. But there are, of course, others.
It's another good point. If you have the parser, we can put inside the code and have a documentation tool.
Automatic documentation.
What functions, what
parameters. Okay, I think I'm sorry, we will end here.
Yeah.
So great ideas, great. All great, so I have some. So thanks for the TCT members and others. Yeah. Who is now out. So it's always easy.